We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. One more quarter to go on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here in the Labatt Blue studio one more time. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And because I'm filling in for Greg Pickle this week, this is no longer Ask Greg, it's Ask Dustin. Once again, brought to you by our friends at tailgatewine.com, where they've got an amazing, unique gift idea set at tailgatewine.com for that Penn State fan in your life. You got to check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. I will have the power in picking a winning question this week. The winner gets a bottle of wine from our friends at tailgatewine.com. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions. I'm filling in for Greg, but usually you go to the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have it, download it. You click the Ask Greg button, you fire off a question, and the winning question gets a prize. It's as simple as that. So let's get to the questions.
All right. First of all, Dusty, we're going for a record. I want to get eight questions. So quickly. Right. Hi, Dusty. I'm a big fan of Keystone Sports Network crew, as you have the best coverage of Penn State football. By the way, this is Mark from Murraysville.
This is Mark, Jim from across the table.
Yeah, starting with the compliments. After three games, I think Penn State's backfield has sorted itself out. I think Journey Brown is the starter. Noah Kane is your number two, who could situational back, who could grind out the clock. Ford is next if a breather is needed, and Slade is a third down back at best. How do you think PSU should handle the crowded backfield?
Well, I think I'm going to use this as an opportunity to say it one more time, Jim. Having four running backs is a great opportunity, and it's a great responsibility. I don't, you know, like, I think you want to have all the faith in the world that your offensive coordinator is going to manage that responsibility well. But we saw last week against Pitt how there's a burden there, because the hot hand, that's great. It requires you to have a great feel from quarter one through quarter four. A lot of that part, you know, especially in the first half, it's going to be scripted, as James Franklin alluded to last week. But I think it's exactly in the order that you just gave. If I'm a Penn State fan, that's how I would want to see them use, with the caveat that, you know, Noah Kane, you know, has a skill set that the others don't. So you maybe want to see him in situations where you got to grind clock. You need short yardage, all that stuff. Devin Ford is as explosive as Journey Brown is. Ricky Slade, I wouldn't write him off just yet. Between the fumbles and the ineffective running, he's got to pick it up. He's got to do something to change, to turn back the tide. I like the question. I like that order too.
All right, I'm not as quick to define it so far. I think we've yet to hear the last of Ricky Slade and Devin Ford. All right, next up, and I'm going to take this one. John from Arlington says, I keep hearing about the traffic and parking woes involved getting to the stadium. What's Penn State doing differently this year that's causing all the trouble? I would have thought the one way would have been an improvement. Yes, it would be, John, if everybody followed the rules and didn't need to get turned around. So this one I'm putting on the fans. Start following the rules. Go where you're supposed to. Run your route.
I've been going this way for 10 years. It's different now.
Right. All right. You got to adjust, call an audible, go where you're supposed to. All right. Brad from Pittsburgh says, how would you rate Ricky Ronnie's play calling against Pitt? You need 4 yards to ice the game, and you're throwing a long pass, and you're running the ball on the third and eight to drive before.
I would be right maybe in the C- category here. I just think they're, you know, you're overthinking it, and you don't have a backbone to your offense, a deep philosophy that you can lean on when times get tough. And times were tough often in that Pitt game. So, you know, a lack of offensive identity has been a question, I think, for 2+ years now. Last year, I don't think, you know, when they needed 4 yards, what were they going to do? I don't think they knew. And I don't think they knew against Pitt either. So I don't think that Pat Freiermuth was used enough. I don't think they reacted as quickly as they needed to the Pitt's early pressure. You know, I think taking a deep shot on third and four in the fourth quarter when you need to run clock, I think that that's overthinking it. So I think it's been characteristic for a little too long now. So I wouldn't give the play calling high marks. I want to see more from Ricky Ronnie in year two than we've seen so far.
I agree. All right, let's move on to another Brad. This one's from Doylestown. With how good Noah Kane was at leading the go-ahead drive, why do you think James Franklin did not use him in any more drives? And would you have?
I would have. I think if James Franklin could have to do it over again, he would have. He even admitted after the game that there was talk in the headset following that drive that maybe we should have given Noah Kane. The situation called for Noah Kane. I think this is maybe a tip of the cap that you think that Journey Brown is your best running back. He started for you for the first time that game. He didn't. It's not like he played poorly and didn't deserve to be out there. You know, he offers you some wiggle at the line of scrimmage. That's good. I think that he was a fine choice, but given the hot hand situation, given how Noah Kane was virtually automatic the drive before of getting 4 yards at least, I think the situation called for him. But James Franklin would admit that. I would have wanted to see Noah Kane, and I think that James Franklin, could, if he could do it over again, would have used Noah Kane.
But it also leads to that question. Why didn't you then?
Right.
If at the time, you talked about it on the headsets, and you've talked about this for a while. Yes, we have scripted who's going to run so many series, but if there's a hot hand, and you add to that, all along they've talked about Noah Kane, described him as being the right guy for that 4-minute offense, and guess what you had there?
You had a 4-minute offense situation. To me, the bigger issue was not Journey Brown versus Noah Kane. The situation was you had yourself a 2nd and 5 because Journey Brown got they complete a pass, they get a 1st down. Journey Brown gets 5 yards on 1st down. You got a 2nd and 5. Maybe that's a Noah Kane situation. Maybe you don't start the drive with Noah Kane. Maybe you bring him in there, but then you have a 2nd and 5. You have a 3rd and 4, and you just didn't do the right things there. That's the bigger issue.
Exactly. All right. Here we have Steve from Painted Post, New York. How do you run a 2-back setup up-tempo for a series with so much success and not show it again the rest of the game? They make me drink blue and light.
Wow. Well,
he got a blue and white reference in there and drinking.
Unbelievable.
So.
A tip of the cap for the blue and light reference, a tip of the cap for the town you're from, Painted Post. The 2-back set has been something that everybody has wanted to see. They have some success with it. They have the horses to pull that off. Let's see it some more. Maybe this is something that in-game, you want to see better in-game management from James Franklin and those guys. You've wanted to see that for a while. Maybe you're a little too rigid. Maybe you can't see the forest for the trees when you're in the game. But maybe the bye week is a time to be able to look at that package and maybe in a broader sense say that this is how we use it some more.
When I was at the game and as soon as I saw it, I perked up, said, hey, they're trying something. They're not just doing the same thing over and over again. And it looked like they can get creative with it. And they did get some yards doing it. Like you said, they have the horses to do it. And with that responsibility of having 4 backs, this is another way to get them involved. So we saw it once. There seemed to be some success with it. And then we saw it no more.
This is the new Wildcat, though. The Lion. I got my cats mixed up. Forgive me for getting my cats mixed up. Where James Franklin will harp on the opportunity cost of bringing in. If you're bringing in Tommy Stevens, that means you're losing a tight end or you're losing a wide receiver. But to bring in a 2nd running back requires losing something else. But these guys, Slade, Ford, Kane, and Brown, all pose a threat in the receiving game. They all pose a threat in the receiving game. Let's use that to our advantage.
Exactly.
You're not losing a playmaker.
By the way, they didn't take the tight end out. Pat Freiermuth was still in the game when they did that. So they still had plenty of weapons, and they were very effective when they were throwing.
I want to see something different from this Penn State offense. It looks like the same old, same old. They don't know who they are yet.
All right. Next up is Chad from Kansas City. I love this. I've been changing whenever someone says, hi, Greg. I've been saying, hi, Dustin.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say, nobody greets me.
But I'm going to leave this as is. He says, Greg, then in quotes, at the end of the day.
Nice.
A win is a win. But why is it that Penn State has a way of making opposing team's quarterback appear to throw the ball like Peyton Manning and run like Michael Vick? Or their offensive line a reincarnation of the Cowboys' early 90s line, and what could be done to fix it?
Boy, I mean, there's some hyperbole there, but there's also some truth to the matter where Penn State's pass rush didn't get near the pressure they needed to on Kenny Pickett. At the same time, he was able to make plays down the field. For him to throw for 370 plus, this is a guy who threw for 8 yards against Clemson last year. This is a guy who was not good against Penn State last season either. And he had a lot of success against the secondary and against this pass rush. It is fair to question that. I don't know. They just seem to have the ability to do that again and again in these sort of key moments. You shouldn't have key moments in the first place against Pitt, but when they did, the pass rush didn't get there and the opposing pass rush did. So yeah, it's a fair question.
But to quote our buddy Greg also, at the end of the day, they still only allowed 10 points with that defense.
Correct.
So it couldn't have been that awful. All right, here's another question I'm going to field for you. It's Chris from State College, who I've met. Hey, Chris, sorry about that. It's Chris from State College. He says, hey, Greg, have you seen Ross? Ross has been out for several weeks. Trust me, folks, he will be back. He will be back this week. He'll be on our show later this week. So never fear. You'll get your...
Busiest man in football right now.
Busiest man in football. He's been out a few weeks. He has a lot to say. We're just going to turn on his mic, turn off everybody else's, and let him go. All right, I said we were going for a record 8 questions. And this will be our 8th question. Sean from Grantsville, Maryland says, hey, Greg and Dustin, I appreciate the show. Keep up the great work. After watching Penn State Pitt, what's more concerning to you? Penn State's inability to protect Clifford on a blitz or the inability of the defensive line to blitz the opposing team's quarterback?
I think the Penn State's defensive line is more concerning to me because this is supposed to be something you hang your hat on. There are a lot of talented bodies there. There's just no excuse. You should be able to rush 3 or 4 guys and put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Scheme-wise, I think Penn State can scheme around blitzing. They didn't do it fast enough against Pitt, but they're able to do it. I believe in Sean Clifford facing and being able to stare down pressure as he starts to accumulate some experience. I think that's something that Penn State's offense is going to do better. You got to do better from your defense. That's not something scheme-wise you can change too much. Your talented DNs have to get there, and they didn't. I like this question, Sean from Grantsville. That's my winning question for the week. We'll be in touch, Sean, with a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. Thanks to everybody else for tuning in, for submitted questions. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.